Christ was born unto us as a Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our Savior. He came to deliver us from sin. He came to deliver us from Satan's dominion, this ungodly world. He came to deliver us from fear and from death and the condemnation of the transgressions of our sins. Aren't you glad that there's no, therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? Aren't you glad today that your sins that were many, your transgressions that were many, have been cast into a lake? The Bible says there's a great gulf fixed as far as the east is from the west. God doesn't remember them anymore. Aren't you glad for that today? Amen. I guess you guys can go to children's church if you want to for about 20 minutes, or you can suffer through this. Who is in children's church today? They're going to stay here. Sit down, little girl. We'll give you an extra donut after a while, or let you take what's left of yours home. Praise God. That was exciting this morning to come to church and find out that there was donuts. But more exciting than that was to find out that the Holy Ghost is still a part of this church. Amen. Amen. That healing still flows from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that today. I'm glad for my Savior today. I'm glad for that anointed Messiah of God who rules over His people, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He can't be your Savior without being your Lord. Come on now. People want Him as Savior, but they don't want Him as Lord. It's got to go. It works both ways. If He becomes Savior, He must become Lord. Or there's, anyway, I think you're in trouble if you don't save Him as Lord. Praise God. Let's go to Luke, the first chapter. I probably won't have time to go through all of this. If I don't, maybe I'll finish this afternoon. Maybe I won't. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord wants. Luke, the first chapter, verses 76 through 79. I want to talk about the day spring from on high this morning. That's Jesus Christ. The dawning. The first streak of daylight is what the day spring means. It's an early revelation of Jesus Christ to our soul. And Zacharias, after that his voice had been took from him for about 9 months, his son John had been born. John, the one that was the greatest apostle before Jesus, John the Baptist, had been born, the cousin of Jesus. And when he was born, Zacharias' mouth was open, and he began to say these things. And I'm just going to read this one part here. But he began to speak about how that as he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he began to prophesy. And this is part of his prophecy to us today. In verse 76 of Luke, the first chapter, says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way," speaking of John, "to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Then it goes on and says that the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit. But John was the one that came and announced the coming of our Messiah. He's the one that opened their people's eyes to the need of salvation after hundreds of years of silence from God. Can you imagine what it would be like here at our church if we hadn't heard from God in a number of years, maybe 2-3 years, and we never experienced a move of God whatsoever? Can you imagine how discouraged we would have become? How many people would fall away from God if we didn't hear from God for a period of time? But yet they had went hundreds of years without hearing from God. God had gotten silent. But all of a sudden, he had two children born. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ our Lord. And John and Zechariah said this, and this is where I'll take my text, about the day spring from on high hath visited us today. Numbers 24 and verse 17 says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And can you understand what they're saying there? He's saying, I see Jesus, he's coming. I see a Savior, but he's not here yet. I see him coming, and he's going to rise out of Jacob, a scepter in Israel. Then Malachi, the 4th chapter and the 2nd verse says, but to you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Speaking again, a prophecy of the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 2nd verse says this, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. That's shouting ground right now, because Jesus shone his light into the hearts of fallen men and women, just like you and I today. Before you knew Jesus, you were lost and undone, walking in darkness of your sin without hope. But the day spring from on high, he began to shine a light into your life and into your heart to reveal to you the need of a Savior, and to reveal to you that he was that Savior that could save you from your sin. Amen. I'm glad for that today, aren't you? He's the first streak, the revelation of God to us, Jesus Christ. Christ is the day spring of the gospel dispensation. When Jesus came, the gospel dispensation began. We had the law before that, and you and I were outcast. The Gentiles were nothing. But yet, all through the Bible, we see where we could become something once that Jesus got here. And over in the Old Testament, you begin to read, if you wanted to become a part, say you were a slave, and you wanted to become a part of them, they would drive drive a stakes through your ear and mark you as a slave. And if you wanted to be a part of the Jewish people, you had to conform to their ways. I could get political right there. I tell you, I will for just a moment. Somebody wants to come to the United States of America and become a part of our great nation, then they ought to come over here and conform to our ways and our government. Come on, give the Lord praise. I believe that. They're welcome, but they don't come here and change us. They come here and they are changed, because that's how I feel about it. All of our early generation of immigrants, when they came, they pledged allegiance to the United States of America. They came knowing that they would learn our language, that they would work this, they'd work hard, and it was a land of opportunity. They didn't come to try to invoke their law upon us. They came to be ruled by our rule of law. Amen. And this lady right here fought, and others in this room fought for our liberty. Amen. And we ought to do that. But Jesus came to give us light. He came to give us light. He's the day spring of the gospel dispensation. That ancient way of life had fulfilled its mission. The law had fulfilled its mission. It had done its work. God had designed it to be temporary, and so it could give way to a new and better system. How would you like today, as we come into the church, I'm not even qualified to do it, but for you to have to bring a dove or a lamb or some other type animal that's unblemished without any spot in it, and bring it, and we'd have to lay it on this altar and cut its throat and bleed its blood and offer a fire up to God and not, you know, all these things. How would you like to have to do that every time you wanted to approach God? How would you like to not be able to approach God on your terms? How would you like not to be able to go to an altar and say, God, but you know what? Jesus said he tore down the middle partition between us and God, and now we can approach the throne of grace boldly to receive our help in our time of need. Jesus did that when he came to earth. He destroyed all of that old ritual. Now, he didn't do away with the Ten Commandments, as some would suppose. He didn't do that, but he did away with the ritual. The blood of lambs and goats and turtle doves, and just one guy being able to go into the Holy of Holies once a year with fear in his heart, tying a rope on his leg in case he died, in case he did something wrong while he was in the Holy of Holies so they could drag him out, had bells on the hem of his garment so they'd know whether he was still living or not. They'd drag him out if he'd happened to die. Then you read the story of Moses and what's his brother Aaron's boys and how that they profaned God with strange fire and God struck them down. Aren't you glad we don't have to worry about that today? that we can approach the throne of grace because the day spring has risen upon our lives, a new and better system. That Mosaic system of worship was and forgiveness had fulfilled its mission, but it was restrictive and would never be universal as the gospel was designed to be. This gospel is for everybody, all nations, all tongues, all colors. It doesn't matter where you live, what you look like. It doesn't matter. This gospel is for you today. It doesn't. The vilest sinner can come to the cross of Calvary and be delivered from their sins. It is, the old law was not adaptable to men and time, but it was confined to one land and one people. But this gospel is for everybody. Aren't you glad for that? It is suited and sufficient for the entire world. That's why we're saved today, because it was suited and it's sufficient. This gospel of Jesus Christ, it suits the spiritual conditions of every man, every woman, everywhere. I'm glad for that today. Many people haven't accepted Christ. We know that. And that's a shame that they haven't seen their need for a Savior. But I tell you, church, I'm glad He found me. I can sing an old Henson song. I'm so glad He found me. Wrapped His loving arms around me. Aren't you glad today that Jesus found you? When I went to that old altar one day, I felt it. He wasn't there, but tangibly, but spiritually, I could feel Him wrap His loving arms around me and draw me up unto Himself and say, Dennis Stone, I love you. I gave my life a ransom for you. I am glad you have came to me. I forgive you of your sins and every transgression. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad for that today? This day string brings blessing to the most civilized. It civilizes and elevates the most barbarous and savage. It suits the spiritual condition of the most remote regions of the continent as well as those in the largest cities. It reveals the need of salvation and of a Savior to all the inhabitants of the world. This day spring did. Jesus Christ is who I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about just anybody today. I'm not talking about my mother or my brother or your mother or your brother. I'm not talking about the mayor or the president. God love his soul. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm talking about the Savior of my soul, the giver of the Holy Ghost, the healer of my body. I'm talking about the one who is and was and is to come. I'm talking about Him who is wonderful, mighty God, and counselor. I'm talking about Jesus today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord. I guess I get back to my notes now. This gospel dispensation teaches everybody that God loves them. It teaches all to obey and observe His commandments. It teaches high moral precepts. I'm tired of the church letting down their moral precepts. I'm tired of churches saying it's all right to be homosexual. I'm tired of churches looking the other way when men and women live together without being married. I'm tired of them looking and patting people on the back and saying it's all right to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm tired of them watering down the gospel of Jesus Christ and making it something that it's not. It is a deliverance to those that are lost and undone. It is deliverance to those who are caught up in an alternate lifestyle. It's deliverance to the homosexual. It's deliverance to the whoremonger and the adulterer and the fornicator and the drunkard. And it's deliverance to each and every one today. This gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? We all need Jesus today. Praise the Lamb of God. It's meant for all, it's suited for all, and it's sufficient for all. Our gospel. I don't care who you are today and what you think, it's sufficient. It's the day more blessed and glorious than any other day that ever has risen upon this earth. The day when Jesus came to earth. A Savior for our sins. The most glorious day ever. It's better than the new president being inaugurated back in January. It was a glorious day for a lot of people. I seen a sign down the road this morning as I was coming to church, and it said, "Thank God, no Obama." And I said, "Hallelujah." I agree. But I'll tell you what, President Trump can't fix this nation. He can't fix this world. He can't save anybody, as many, even though he says, I will. He can't. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can change the hearts of men. Only Jesus is going to make it right, and he's not going to do that until he comes back again one day and establishes his kingdom forever and forever and forever. And then it'll all be right. The Lamb will lay down with the lion again. There'll be no sin, no sickness, no heartache when Jesus comes again. I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord, aren't you? When Jesus comes back to rule and reign forever over all his people. It's a blessed day when he came to earth. Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. That's our Savior. The day spring of God. The revelation of salvation to this entire world. He's the day spring of the life and the souls of men. We each, all of us today, most of you are saved. There's probably some of you that might not be. Some of you might be consider yourself a marginal Christian. There's no such thing, but you might consider yourself that. No marginal Christians. There may be some baby Christians, some teenage Christians. In other words, you might not be as far as on the journey as you need to be or ought to be. You may not be mature. But there ain't no marginal Christians. Either you're a Christian or you're not. Either you're trying to live for God or you're not. Amen? I believe that. There's no marginal Christians. Either you're saved or you're not. It'd be nice not to do what I won't say I'm saved. Whoa, man, I just do what I want and be saved? Well, yeah, that's what some teach. It ain't so. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, is it says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, one portion of Scripture says. If it, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, never mind, let's go to Romans 12:1. I can do that. When I beseech you, therefore, brethren. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. You're a new person in Christ. Amen? But it does say in Romans 12:1, that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Church, today, that is our commission, to live for God with the best ability that we have, and let God take care of the rest. But we must come out from among the world and do our part to be morally perfect and live a righteous, holy, sanctified life before God, because after all, the dayspring of God has shown his light into your heart. He saved you. I'm glad he saved me. Amen. Sin, like a cloud, shuts out the light of heaven. You begin to sin and you call yourself a Christian, you won't see God. You won't experience God. You'll become a frustrated person. Especially you that's known Christ and you walk away from him, you become really frustrated. Nothing works. You think you're going to be happy, but you're really not. Why is that? Because conviction. Conviction is all over you. But sin has clouded your day. You can't see God for the... He shuts out heaven. Because of that, they cannot see the brightness beyond. I'm going to tell you something, church. Right beyond this ceiling today, right beyond our viewpoint, is a vision of God, a vision of heaven. And when we're really saved, we kind of get a glimpse of that. I want to go to heaven one of these days. I believe you do too. I often say I don't know about you, but I don't know about you, but I do know I want to go to heaven one day. I want to go see Jesus one of these days. I don't know what I'm going to do. I sort of like that song. Will I dance before you, Jesus? Will I bow? I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know this. When I get there, I'm going to do something different than what I normally do, and I'm going to worship the one that gave his life for me. Most of all, one old song says, I want to see Jesus. Amen. Amen. I hope you do too. I tell you, you can't, people that are lost and undone under that cloud of sin can't not even perceive the gloominess of their condition. They can't perceive it at all. They might be cultured, they might have refined taste, attractive manners, and exceptional morals, yet not realize the darkness of spiritual night that hangs over their souls. We've all met people like that. They're good moral people. They have great manners. They're even on committees, and they're in the legislature, and they're on the, in the Senate, and they're the mayors, and they're the civic leaders of our towns, but they're in darkness today because they don't know Jesus. And they're good people. But a lot of good people are going to go to hell. And I'm not being ugly towards them today. I'm not trying to make myself something that I'm not. I'm just a sinner that's been saved by grace. I'm just a man that realized one day I was walking in darkness and I finally saw the light. Amen. You see, that darkness will hide their perception of divine things, and such as the love of God, the love of Christ, the mission of our Savior. It leaves one wanting or lacking. Without Christ, you're in want. You're in need. You're in lack. With Christ, you have all you need. Jesus is my everything today, and I hope He's yours. We used to sing a lot of them old songs, and they meant a lot to us, and then we move up to some newer worship stuff, and I'm not opposed to new worship stuff, by the way. Y'all know that. But sometimes we lose out on some of the old songs where we used to just sing a simple song. He is my everything. He is my all. He gave His life for me, for everyone, both great and small. That's Jesus. He's my everything today. I forget that sometimes. I get caught up in the whirlwind of life, busyness, doing this, doing that, and I forget that Jesus is my everything, that I'm living because of Him. And my life is hid in Christ Jesus today, and I need Him more than I need breath that I breathe. I need Jesus, for if I quit breathing today, I'll see Him. But if I don't know Him and I don't have Him as Savior, when I stop breathing, I'm lost. Some people say, when I get to hell, I'll just pray and God will forgive me. It don't work that way, friends. Be too late. One old song says, though you say, I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't know, and though the tears be enough to cause a river to overflow, it'll still be too late in heaven, in hell. It's too late once you die. You need to make things right today. Whoever you are, if you're not right, make things right today. You know, the day string fell on Saul as he headed to Damascus. He was heading down there to persecute the church some more, had a letter. He had a letter in his hand to give him the authority to arrest Christians, to do whatever he wanted to them. He had the authority. But he met the day spring on the way to Damascus. The Bible says a great light shone about him, caused him to fall off his horse. And a voice spoke to him, Saul, Saul, how long are you going to kick against the goads? How long are you going to fight me? And he blinded him and told him to go on to Damascus and seek out this man. I believe it was Barnabas. Seek out this man. Was it Barnabas? Anyway, he told him to seek out this man, and he'd tell him what to do. And he spoke to that man and said, Saul of Tarsus is coming. And he says, I've heard of him, and he's a persecutor of the church. He said, don't fear him. Tell him this. Paul got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, become one of the greatest apostles ever. Why? Because Jesus shone His love abroad in his heart, showed him that He loved him and he's on the wrong road, and Saul found salvation. That persecutor of the church become a Christian. The light broke into his soul, and he had a dawn of a spiritual light. It dispensed all the darkness of his soul, and new godly desires were awakened. When you get saved, you'll have new desires. There again, 2 Corinthians 2:17, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. When you get saved, everything changes. It is a moment of a beginning of a better hope. We have a better hope today than anybody else. Jesus entered into the night of silence in the grave for you and I. He entered the darkness of the tomb. He rose again to give assurance to life and immortality. He is the first fruit from the dead. He is the second Adam, the head of a sinless family. He will come again. He's on his way. I'm not sure the groomsman may already be saddling his horse. I'm confident that they are currying his stallion, getting it ready to be saddled if they're not saddling it. He's getting ready to come again for a sinless, spotless church, one that's waiting for, looking for, and longing for his coming. Those that have been blood-bought, mercy-sought, those who accepted salvation and have asked God to forgive them of their sin, those sins have been remitted. He has become your propitiation. He's satisfied God's wrath towards you. He's coming again. The day spring, Jesus Christ. The Message Bible, the scripture that I read this morning in Luke 1:78-79, says it like this. Through the heartfelt mercies of God's sunrise, I might have wrote that down, will break upon us, shining on those in darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death, then showing the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace. I like that part of it. He shows you the way, one foot at a time. Psalm says that his word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And this says he's going to show us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace. That's our day spring today. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He's wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and one day he'll rule over his people forever and forever. Amen. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Would you stand with me? Now the Holy Ghost has moved on.